When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We can have as many as 11 teams qualify for European competition once this format kicks into place. And we can, in theory, have as many as 7 in the Champions League.
The Fantasy Football Show.
And everybody, welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. My name's Sitch.
And my name is James.
Today, James, is a people's poll.
It is.
Not about FPL, but then there's only 4 games this week, or 3 games this week.
No, we did our podcast on that last night.
Who cares?
Well, half pissed on Sunday trying to watch Liverpool Man City. My good buddy Ricky Saunders tried to help me come up with some topic ideas. 3 hours later, when he got off the train, I'd had one. So the topics in the people's poll this week were a conversation on the Monday night football, which I thought we could actually expand into the idea of discussing the show as much as just Chelsea Newcastle. Like, we've never actually sat down and spoke about Monday night football, which I guess is the premium Premier League broadcasting content, isn't it? Monday night football. It's the only one I think. Well, for anyone, it's the only one that I think I want to watch the analysis on Monday Night Football. I'm not bothered about what people say before, during, or after the game on Super Sunday or anything. On Monday Night Football, I always want to watch it.
I would have said for the mass market, maybe Match of the Day is still bigger.
I'm talking about live broadcast.
But yeah, I mean. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Match of the Day is live, but it is just a review program. Review. The Monday Night Football has a live football match in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Other topic that we came up with to choose from was, will fifth place be enough for Champions League qualification? Which I guess is probably a little bit more relevant after Tottenham's victory at Aston Villa on Sunday. Which,
for you?
Well,
yeah.
If Villa had won, then I think Villa had fourth done.
Yeah.
And I think then we would have been looking at a different way and going, well, there's a load of teams behind could probably catch up to Tottenham in fifth. Now, after last night's result as well, looking at things, it's probably only Manchester United, really, realistically, that will have hopes of catching Tottenham after Tottenham won on Sunday. The rest are a bit too far behind, I think, when it's more points than games left.
That's it.
Say for Newcastle, Chelsea. Even with the difficult fixture list, neither, I think if Chelsea win every game left, they finish on 70. That's probably enough for 4th or 5th, but are they going to win every game left? No, probably not.
No. Same applies at the bottom, right? I think you were talking about on the main poll with Clayton yesterday about relegation, like with Bournemouth, for example, 11 points. It's more points than games. And when there's more points than games, even on both ends, you can kind of put a bow in it.
It's normally the only difference is at the bottom, obviously less teams win. So if like Luton had like 9 points, but if they suddenly got 7 points in 3 games, they'll catch up. Whereas if, Manchester United take 7 points from the next 3 games, Tottenham might also take a similar number. That's a little bit of difference. You probably catch it up if you have a run at the bottom. You win 2 or 3 games at the bottom of the table, you
makes a
jump.
Big difference. Yeah.
You can't guarantee that'll happen near the top of the table. In short, on that, it's close. Basically, Italy are highly likely to take one of these 2 additional spots, which we'll part cover off in this pod as well. And it's probably going to come down to between England and Germany for the other. So things like West Ham against Freiburg on Thursday night is really important.
Actually. I know. I know.
It's God, really important.
We need to win.
It's not guaranteed. You don't get as many points later in the competition for the coefficient. So you might look at it and go, well, if City or Arsenal win the Champions League, Liverpool win the Europa League, or West Ham or Brighton, it won't be Brighton, obviously, and Villa win the Conference League, it'd definitely be England. It's not guaranteed to be that because it's split over the amount of teams that are in the competition. And because Newcastle and Manchester United went out of group stage, pretty unhelpful for the overall, once you divide by eight, the amount of points accumulated. What we're going to be talking about today, though, is the reformat of the Champions League, which begins from next season. And as I said to you off camera before we started, Suj, I'm very surprised it won the vote, because I kind of know why, because there was a big hullabaloo about it last week. It's like, oh, this is the new Champions League format. You and I discussed this.
We've known about it
for a years
long
ago.
Time.
2 years ago.
Yeah. It's been in the works for a long time, but we knew it was coming. It's not like it, they just announced it now. It's been in the works for a long time.
But I don't even know what the announcement was last week. It was just like, I think, a crash course of awareness
reminder
for people.
Yeah,
basically. So, it's the Swiss system. That's what they're calling it. I think it's also been, some people have called it in certain quarters, like a chess system, haven't they? I think, Suj. It's basically, it's one league table. Suj is already shaking his head. He's going, what is this nonsense? Is that what you already think?
What's this nonsense? Chess. What's chess got to do? I think it's...
I've heard people say it's like used in chess as well or something, or it's some sort of chess format.
Maybe that's how they have... the rankings in chess or something like that.
Maybe I just didn't want to call it Swiss system because it just makes me think we're just avoiding tax. This format was approved 22 months ago. It was kind of first mentioned basically almost exactly 2 years ago, and it was approved 22 months ago. So I'm saying, I don't know what the big hullabaloo has been about it now, because it's part of the new broadcast Champions League deal, new format come into play. It was obviously off the back of the Super League drama, with this guy's going back to what, 2021 Super League,
the year
I think.
After COVID,
so this was put in place like a year after, and a lot of that was obviously UEFA realized they need to do something with the Champions League because all these clubs were threatening to go, right, we're gonna piss off
exactly. Yeah, I do think it's important to recap on that. Like, ultimately, at that time, the reason that the bigger clubs wanted the Super League is more money, right?
Yep.
And more money comes from more games against each other for those specific clubs. And so when we get into this and the structure of it, the thing to bear in mind is, what's it designed for? Is it designed for a more open competition, or is it designed for more of the top teams playing against each other, or keeping the traditional big clubs, even if they're not doing well in their leagues, in the Champions League? Like, what are the net potential outcomes that we think are going to happen from this?
More money.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
this
at
is
a high
the biggest
level.
Thing.
Yeah.
On UEFA's promo video, which was quite cute because it was a nice little 90-second explainer last week of kind of what's happening without the finer details. Two key points, I think, came out of it. One, they were very keen to shout about qualification for the Champions League remaining based on sporting merit, which for the A22, which is the proposed breakaway lunatics, as I'd like to call them, frankly. Did you see they reckoned that 80% of Chelsea fans were in favour of the European Super League? That was in something that they posted a couple of weeks ago. Well, they were obviously not at Stamford Bridge that day when Chelsea nearly got the game with Brighton postponed.
It's funny how your league position changes your opinion a little bit.
I mean, what did they do? Did they just ask four Chelsea fans on a street or something? And three went, I like it.
Probably ask Todd Boehly, because if anyone needs Champions League money, it's going to be Chelsea in the next few seasons, right?
Anyway, that A22 are trying to propose that it's not a closed shop and it's going to be fair and open competition for qualification. But when you drill into it, no, it's like it would be impossible for Real Madrid not to qualify. And let's be honest, it's extremely unlikely that Real Madrid wouldn't qualify for UEFA Champions League. But if they did piss it up the wall in La Liga and finish fifth or sixth, then they won't. As we've seen with, you know, Manchester United, Arsenal over the last few years haven't always qualified. I mean, the year Arsenal didn't even qualify for Europe at all, I think. 1 year they finished eighth. My team hasn't been in Europe this year. Chelsea's not in Europe this year, right? So, but that's their big spiel, is definitely right. Qualification remains on sporting merit. Technically, everyone does have to qualify. That is true. And the other kind of big sell on this is top matches from the start.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the big criticisms, and me and Clayton were discussing it on our Patreon pod Q&A yesterday, the Champions League does it does feel quite stale. It's almost it almost feels like you don't really have a big game till April.
Yeah,
it's quite often how it feels.
Or whatever, yeah.
Because even if you do, and I realize like pot two can always look quite difficult, and you can end up with a draw that has, you know, Arsenal win pot two, play Real Madrid hypothetically. But the chances are that's the two teams are going to go through in the group.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like there's any edge on it or anything like that. Now, Newcastle fans will say, well, we had a tough draw this year, but it's almost it needs that. Someone who's not been in the competition for a long time come in and like pot four, and then you get those very rare. That was a really interesting group this year, the group involving Newcastle. But most of the rest, we say it every year, you can look at the eight Champions League groups, and we can probably all predict 13 of the 16 teams will go through. It's the same every year. And this year as well, I think you look at the last 16 and we'd all go, yeah, I'm picked probably minimum six, probably seven of the eight teams that will go through as well. Now, who knows? Tonight we might get a shock and Arsenal might fail to score against Porto and not go through, but we all think Arsenal will go through, right?
Well, based on current form, they've been playing really well. So yeah, I would really struggle to see a situation where they don't. It's possible, but
I'd make a case they're the second strongest team in that competition at the moment.
What, behind City?
Yeah.
Well, there's many that have touted Arsenal as potentially the favourites for it, depending on how things line up. So, yeah.
So part of the sale is to get more of these Real Madrid against Manchester Cities. I think it's probably even a greater example. Playing each other right from the start.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea. So what's going to change is 36 teams in the Champions League up from 32. The top four from the four biggest nations on the coefficient, England, Spain, Germany, Italy, guaranteed. Many of us will remember fourth place used to have to qualify, didn't it, in the playoff round. Now, top four, guaranteed.
Yep, which is the same as it is now.
The top three from France are guaranteed to go through, plus the fourth will go into a playoff round. The top two in the Netherlands are guaranteed, plus their third place in their league will go into a playoff. The champions from Portugal, Belgium, Scotland, and Austria are guaranteed to be in this, and the seconds in those two leagues will also go into the playoff rounds as well. That takes you up to 25 teams in total in terms of guarantee. There are five more that come from this champions path and two from the league path. So, for example, hypothetical example, let's say Lyon finished third in France. I don't know where they are at the moment. They could play maybe Rangers or Celtic, whoever finishes second in that league in the playoff. It's not going to be all those second and third teams all qualify. There's only two from the league path. There's an additional five that will come from the champions path. So champions of other nations. So you might have the champions of Romania end up playing the champions of Bulgaria, for example, ends up becoming the winner of them will end up getting him.
Yep.
The Champions League and Europa League winners are obviously guaranteed to qualify. And in most cases do qualify for the Champions League, but that doesn't always happen. For example, Eintracht Frankfurt a couple of years ago, but it would be pretty unlikely now, I think, that the Champions League winner didn't automatically qualify for the Champions League.
Mm-hmm. Europa League, a bit more hit and miss, but more
yeah,
than
it can be.
I mean, this year, obviously, Liverpool were very, very strong favourites.
Well, them and Leverkusen.
Qualify from the league. Yeah, to be fair, that would be, imagine that as a final, hell of a last game for Klopp.
I think the neutrals are somewhat hoping for that. It does feel inevitable that they'll play each other at some point. If the winners of the Champions League and Europa League have already qualified, the highest coefficient club from the Champions path and League path qualify automatically.
Yeah.
The Champions path takes priority. So that would be like a league champion, just to clarify that Champions path, takes priority for the Champions League winner place. The best coefficient overall will qualify from either the champions or the league path if the Europa League winners already made it through. Under that circumstance, that's highly likely to be like your fourth from France or something like that, your third in the Netherlands, rather than champions from Croatia, Romania, Bulgaria, whatever.
Yeah.
The final two places go for the associations who finish in the top two of the 23-24, as quoted, association coefficients. That's where we're talking about, you know, will fifth make it in for the English clubs. it's highly likely that that is going to fall from the four. Most years it would fall from the top four legs. Mm-hmm. I think there was one year, the year final got to the Conference League final, the Netherlands would have got an extra place. But I think over the last sort of 7-8 years, it would have always been an extra place for one of England, Germany, Italy, Spain. And they've obviously worked this out. Because when the original proposal came around, you might remember what they wanted to do was historical performance for these two extra places. What they wanted to do was just put in the two teams who had the highest coefficient, who didn't qualify. Part of that is obviously the Premier League's been in their ears going, we've got teams like Arsenal, Manchester United aren't qualifying. UEFA are also not silly, realise that having these clubs is more beneficial commercially for their competition as well. So they've created a loophole where in 3 of the last 4 years, the fifth place in England would have qualified for this. And that highly likely as it stands is what it's going to be. 75% of the time, this fifth place in England will be enough. And it might be that it works out. It's going to be close. As I say, it's basically 50-50 this year. Part of that is what said Newcastle, Manchester United going out to the Champions League group stage and having 8 teams in. We can, as I'll come on to in a bit, we can actually get up to 11 teams qualify for Europe is in theory possible from the Premier League.
Can you just clarify for listeners that don't know the difference between the Champions path and the league path, what the two of them are?
Yeah.
There's 5 teams from the Champions path.
Yep. And there's 2 from the league path. So just think about this. Let's say the example I use, let's say Rangers finish second in Celtic, and they play Lyon, who finishes like fourth in France. That's the league path because they haven't been a champion. So rather than
you're saying is there will be every league will have a league position. So second in Scotland, third in France, it might be third in Belgium or wherever it may be.
Yeah, it's different. There's obviously certain nations, it's just the champion, right? Goes into qualifying. So for example, let's say Dynamo Zagreb win the league in Croatia. They're not guaranteed to be in. They will go into the champions path of qualifying.
Right. Okay. And then if there's a second and third place, that will be the league path.
Correct. So basically you've got champions path. So that's for league champions. That's to make sure you've got a certain number of champions qualify from certain nations.
Yeah.
They're trying to balance their act between giving extra places to the big leagues, if you will, and also trying to make sure you can still get enough in from champions of
because of whenever other nations. We have this debate, people all, and I hear it on certain radio stations all the time. Whenever they debate the Champions League, it's always, it should just be champions, for example, and it should just be the league winners, which is nonsense because it would create such a lopsided tournament and it wouldn't have the desired effect.
That's why it stopped.
You know, what about Real Madrid versus Shamrock Rovers or whatever? I'm like, that's a stupid idea.
The problem was, In the 90s, when it just became the champions and kind of growth of money in football really kind of exploded in the 90s off the back of like Italia 90 and Euro 96 here, etc. The bigger leagues were just breaking away bigger. It's why the Cup Winners' Cup became defunct as well. Like it felt like a 4-team tournament, basically. You near enough knew the winner was going to be from England, Spain, Italy, Germany. Or if you were fortunate, you had a really good Dutch team or French team or something like that. But it was the same in the European Cup. I mean, imagine the Champions League now, and it was just the champions, the teams that finished first. In principle, that's a great idea. It's not making you the money.
And it's not going to be competitive either, James.
No. I mean, now it's so lopsided. We could all look at it now, couldn't we? We go, well, the Final Four would be like Man City, Bayern Munich, Inter Milan, Real Madrid, PSG might break into it. That's it.
Yeah.
That would be your four, wouldn't it? So that's why the competition had to evolve because the UEFA Cup became more interesting because you'd have like second, third, fourth in the Premier League, Serie A, etc. going into the UEFA Cup. The UEFA Cup became crazy to try and win. And that's why it evolved.
What's more complicated, the coefficient system for the Champions League?
Oh, God.
Or the BPS system in FPL?
Definitely the qualification coefficient system. does need a fine tooth comb and some real magnifying glasses. BPS system that she doesn't. You just have to look at it
to understand
how it works. You might need to do some traveling to find out how players got their BPS, but yeah, that's way more easier to understand than how the coefficients work. With the coefficients, basically, what the majority of us who look at these things will do is we just trust this right.
Yeah.
Basically, okay, you've got that much coefficient. That's your ranking. Okay, I trust that's right. Am I going to trail back and see, oh, you got 1.07543 points for winning this? No, I'm not looking at that sort of thing. So the two additional places, as said, will obviously come from these two best teams in terms of coefficients. So as it stands now, at this minute, if it was closed now, fifth in England won't be. It would be Italy and Germany would be the ones that get the extra places. Now, the major difference to the competition next year is obviously the format of the group stage.
Yeah.
Essentially, there isn't a group stage anymore in next season's competition. What you're going to have is one league of 36 teams, and no, they're obviously not going to all play each other. Those 36 teams will be split into nine pots of four to make the 36. And the ranking for that will be determined by coefficient, not by, you know, last year's performance or where you finish in your domestic league, literally just on coefficient. So
that's team coefficient rather than country, nation.
Correct. So, for example, we use the example of Newcastle, would obviously not been in Europe for a long time. Because of that, their coefficient would start quite low. But it also does get a little bit of a boost because they're an English team. And obviously, England's coefficient is big. Different example would be obviously when Leicester obviously won the Premier League, they would have gone in with no European experience over the previous 5 years. They would have gone in really lowly. So anybody who's got, what I mean by that is, let's say Real Madrid finished third in La Liga, but because of their historical Champions League, they're still going to be in pot one because their coefficient's obviously going to be massive. It would be similar for Manchester City. Manchester City finished third in the Premier League this year. They're going to be in pot one next year.
Yep.
So it's based on coefficient with the exception of the Champions League winner. The Champions League winner will be guaranteed pot one. The way it works now would be obviously the Europa League winner is guaranteed a top seed in as well. That won't be the case. Europa League winner, as far as I'm aware, will just come down to coefficient.
Right.
So the 36 teams are split into nine pots of four. Basically, each team will play two teams from each pot, one at home, one away. So, for example, you could have, let's say hypothetically, Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal are all in pot one, Real Madrid, Barcelona, perhaps Atletico Madrid all in pot one, a couple more. You're going to play two of those teams, one at home, one away. And obviously, each team's going to have a different set of fixtures, quite obviously. The design of that is, as I said, is to have more. The way they sell it is more teams of equal ability playing each other in the group stage. No, what you mean is more money games in the group stage. You can bet that they'll split it nicely as well. So if Real Madrid play Bayern Munich, that'll be like a headline one night. If it's Arsenal against Barcelona, that'll be like a headline on another night. They won't have too many of them clashing on the same night, I bet. I did look, though. You're still going to get some, I think, some odd ones like Red Bull Leipzig, I think, would go into pot one as it stands. And that probably doesn't feel like a top tier. It was probably the top nine. So you're still going to get some matchups where I think part of the confliction with this will be you'll get someone, let's say Arsenal play Real Madrid and Bayern Munich, and Man City play Leipzig and Inter, hypothetically. Inter's a bad example. But just by having Leipzig as one of the opponents, that's going to look better, I think, in terms of the attractiveness of a fixture or how likely you are to win a game. So this idea of everything's going to be equal and split, well, each team's going to have different opponents within a one-league system. Someone's going to have better fixtures than others. It's obvious. Imagine as well, you've got the example of Newcastle having, say, a low coefficient. Whoever plays them is going to have more difficult fixtures.
Yeah, I can understand that. And I quite like the chaos of who you're going to play versus who you're not going to play.
Yeah, I do think
what I'm really scared about, James, is the draw. This would take about 2 days to do, surely. Or are they just going to plug it all into a computer and let a computer split it out?
I mean,
I'm just thinking you're going to split them out into nine, and then for every team, right, you get you at home, and then you pull out another, you get you away, but now no one else can have you away because you've got this team at home and so on. It sounds like a nightmare to pull out of a hat.
I don't know how to do the draw.
It must be, just plug it all into a computer and just let the computer spit it out.
Because the league, in principle, what you could do, you could give everyone a number from 1 to 36, or even you could do it as, you know, let's say it's pot A for the top 9 seeds. You could have A1, A2, etc. And a little bit like when you do like a World Cup draw, you get drawn out and you get your position in the group, don't you? And that determines which team you play when? In the three games.
So they could predefine the fixtures and then you just slot in.
Yeah, but you can't do it with this.
Because countries playing against each other and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So you only need one where it'd be like, I don't know, let's say Man City are A1 and, you know, Tottenham are B7 if they qualify, for example. And if you've already predetermined that's the fixture, you're changing everything, aren't you? I don't know how they're going to do the draw.
I've got more anxiety about the draw than I have the actual structure of the group stage. What
is there to draw?
Well, this is it. I think you just got to whack it into the computer, see what the computer spits out. But I don't trust UEFA's computer.
No, exactly. No one has actually said yet how a physical draw of this would work. If it's going to be balls in a pot, or I don't know. I don't know, because I don't think you can do that positions and predetermine, right, you play that team in match day 5 then, because of the two clubs from the same country.
Yeah.
Now, here's a note, and I've taken this line. In principle, clubs from the same association will not be drawn, so that suggests there will be a draw, against each other in the league phase. Exceptionally, a maximum of one match per club against another club from the same association may be allowed for associations with 4 or more clubs in the league stage, if this is the only way to avoid a deadlock in the draw. I think, and I haven't worked this out, but someone cleverer than me will certainly do so, I imagine. I think if we get to 6 teams from one nation, you might have to have two clubs from the same country play each other.
Wow.
To get to that stage, obviously what you need is, for example, Villa or Tottenham take the 5th place this year and something like West Ham win Europa League and obviously qualify as well. Then you've got 6 teams in, and it might be that, West Ham and Aston Villa could be a Champions League match next year. Or it could be a Premier League match at the weekend in game week 29 that might, not many of us will get FPL points in. Might be a different way of looking at that as well. So, obviously, with this one league format, how does qualification work for the knockout stage? So, 1st to 8 automatically qualify for the last 16. So, the teams that place in this league, the teams with the most points and level out goal difference and head-to-head. We don't quite know what that's going to be yet. If it's going to be goal difference or head-to-head, we don't quite know yet. I imagine it, because so
can't
many
really
teams
be head-to-head.
It's got to be goal difference,
really
isn't it?
Each other, do they? So everyone will have played different teams.
They might still use it as a separator, though. You could still have two teams finishing on the same points who have played each other, right? So you could still use it as a separator, but obviously in most cases, it's going to have to go down to goal difference, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The top 8 will qualify automatically for the last 16 and presumably have a second leg at home. The teams that place 9 to 24 will go into a playoff round, an effective, what we'd have called the last 32, except after teams have already gone through from the last 32 because they've got a bye. Mm-hmm. So a little bit like how the Europa League has worked already this year and the Europa
and the
Conference League.
Yep.
The group winner obviously skips the playoff round. Went straight to the last 16. This is similar. So the top 8 go straight to the last 16. 9 to 24 go into the playoff round. Now, what we think's going to happen from there is that 9th will play 23rd or 24th. Not necessarily top versus bottom. And again, presumably, the higher ranked will have the second leg at home, you would think, to have some form of advantage. But it is going to, it's a little bit like, I think, like a little bit like a tennis system. I think where if you have like a draw for, say, Wimbledon or the French Open or something, 1st and 2nd seeds are generally kind of kept on the opposite sides of the draw.
Yeah.
And won't meet to the final. So you probably have 2nd and 3rd are on one half of the draw, and 1 and 4th from the league or on one side of the
draw. Yeah, understood.
What we do know, we don't know this with certainty, but what we do know at the moment is that the teams that finish first and second in the 36-team league won't be able to meet till the final.
Right.
That we know. So they'll be like top seeds on either side of the draw. Dell Johnson at ESPN is really good at explaining these sort of things. This is what he's suggested is going to happen. It's going to be things like ninth will play 23rd or 24th. And then, for example, first will play probably the lowest ranked, for example. But it's going to be one draw, I think, before the last 32 or playoff round. So presumably, in the way they'll probably do it is first would play, I'm going to guess here, 15th or 16th or 17th or 18th. That's the way I'd guess it would happen. Because otherwise, the team that finishes first in the league could, in the last 16, play the team that finishes ninth if they want to pick the bottom one out. Does that make
sense?
And
they'd have been, in theory, in the same pot, potentially,
There's not going to be, in the future, like, quarterfinal draws and semifinal draws. It's going to be one draw. It doesn't seem to be certainty at the moment. Is there's going to be one draw from, say, the last 16, or if it's going to be before the playoff round. We think it's going to be before the playoff round, and you'll be able to, a little bit like a World Cup or European Championships, you'll be able to plot the path all the way to the final, and you go, oh yeah, this is easy, and then you get shocks and the draw opens up for certain teams and stuff. One of the other things that's obviously different about the Champions League next year is no drop down into other competitions. Right. So the teams that finish 25th to 36th are eliminated. They will go out. There's no drop into the Europa League playoff round or anything like that. It's done. It's game. So 9th to 24th going to playoff round, 1st to 8th straight to last 16, 25th to 36th are out. There are 8 match days in the Champions League group stage, including one exclusive match week, which includes Champions League games on a Thursday. All games on match day 8 will be played, we think, on the same night. So presumably that's, 18 games, isn't it? All presumably kicking off at the same time to make it fair. I mean, that sounds quite exciting. There's obviously going to be a lot of jeopardy on that.
It's like the last day of the season type thing, which
I quite like that.
Oh, I mean, I'm all for it.
I was figuring out that you'd have like 9 games on a Tuesday night and 9 games on a Wednesday night, and those who play on the Wednesday know exactly what they've, well, not exactly what they've got to do, but have obviously got an advantage, haven't they? It should be that everyone kicks off at the same time. You might notice I said Wednesday, January the 29th. That's when the final match day of the Champions League phase will be. There are 2 match days in January when we scream about how are you going to have 2-legged Carabao Cup semi-finals and FA Cup replays. Yeah, this is your problem. And it's not just 8 match days for European competition for the league phase as well, because the Europa League will have one exclusive midweek and the Conference League will have one exclusive midweek where there's only games from that particular competition in a set midweek. The original idea and proposal behind this was 10 group games in the Champions League, which was reduced to 8. We think, actually, that some of the bigger nations wanted that brought back to 8. The ones that were really pushing for a 10-game group stage, we think, was Ligue 1, was the French Association. And Seferin's old mate, who's the guy who stitched him up at Juventus? Shit, I've forgotten his name.
You mean the chairman?
No, the Super League stuff. What was his name? Not Allegri, that was the bloody manager. What was his name at Juventus? Who Seferin fell out with?
James.
Who stitched him up? What was his name? Just put Seferin and beef and see what Google comes out with. Seferin, Juventus, beef. What was his name? I can't remember.
It begins with an A. Andrea Agnelli.
Agnelli, that's it. You can see why I was thinking Allegri, can't you? Agnelli. Yeah, I mean, a lot of this principal idea in the Champions League, ironically, was supposedly a lot of it was his idea before he then obviously tried to stab Seferin and others in the back and then the breakaway for the Super League.
The headline came up on Google when I searched it. Juventus president Andrea Agnelli doesn't exist anymore to UEFA's Alexander Seferin. He doesn't exist to me anymore. That's pretty harsh. Grim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 8 group games, 8 league games, if you will, no group, over 10 European midweeks, though, because I said there'll be exclusive nights for Europa League, Europa Conference League. This is what is going to put huge pressure on the domestic league calendars for next season. The EFL was already mentioned on some of our previous stuff. I've announced Carabao Cup semi-finals will still be over two legs next season. I'm absolutely convinced that that's going to change in the next couple of months, and it will be a one-off semi-final because I don't know how you're fitting this in. And again, FA Cup replays, when you're playing them, if the last two midweeks of January are going to be for Europe, and then it's like a 2-3 week gap for the playoff round, you've got to be sensible about this, I think. And I know a lot of the teams, clubs, whose fans who support clubs in lower leagues are like, well, we need the replays. I get that. But you also need to look at when you're going to play these games. It needs to be looked at. So that's a major difference. The league stay goes on until January. I think match day 6 is in like early December and match day 7-8 is late January. It's going to be good when we get games postponed for weather in January, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Let's see. Well, to be honest, we haven't had too much of a Champions League games.
I guarantee you there will be a game in January next season in the Champions League that happens on a football pitch that shouldn't get played.
Okay.
Whether it's like is too much water on the pitch or it's too cold, rock hard, whatever, I bet you there will be a game in that competition next year right at the end. It's like, shouldn't have played this. But we've got to, haven't we? Because last resort for UEFA is to postpone stuff. It's two legs all the way through, by the way, in the knockout stage, as per usual. Final next year is in Munich. The final this year, of course, is at Wembley. The Europa League is basically the same gig. Cut a long story short.
Yeah.
Two teams from each of the top 12 associations, which obviously includes England, are part of 36 qualifiers for the group/league phase. The format of the competition will be the same as the Champions League. So you're going 9 times 4 in terms of pots, 2 from each pot. 1 will be a home game. 1 will be away game. Match day 1 of the Europa League is the week after match day 1 of the Champions League next season. So I presume match day 1 of the Champions League is going to be the exclusive week, you would think. Again,
so two teams come from the top 12 associations. That's 24.
Yeah.
There's 36 qualifiers. So who are the other 8?
So you'll get dropouts from these qualifiers, won't you? So although you can't drop from the Champions League stage, i.e. the 36,
from the qualifier, you
to
can.
The Europa
right.
League,
so,
if take right. that Rangers v Lyon example,
Rangers
the
Lyon,
loser's going to
drop
in and stuff. You've got that. It's the same, basically, as the Champions League, the format, the finals in Bilbao. The Europa Conference League is slightly different. We'll obviously have one qualifier. It's only one team guaranteed from the top 12 association. You've also got a playoff round before the league stage. So there's 48 teams that play in the playoff round. The 24 winners in that will be joined by 12 teams who drop out from UEFA Europa League qualifying to make up the teams, the 36 teams at the end. The difference is only 6 group games in the Conference League rather than 8. So what you'll have with that is a split of, you'll play one team from each pot. That's going to cause some upset as well. Well, I'm playing away to a team from pot 1. I presume they'll do it where it'd be like away to a team in pot 1, home to teams in pot 2 and 3, away to 4 and 5, home to 6. Something like that is presumably how they'll do it. But it's only 6 games in the group stage. Therefore, the split of the seeding of the pots is also going to be in pots of 6. So 6-6 is such 36.
36. Why are they playing less games in the Conference League? Is there any specific reason for that?
I don't know, because of the playoff round, I thought, well, the playoff round will happen then when the first match days of the Champions League and Europa League happen. No, the playoff round is still in August.
Mm-hmm.
So think about it as well in terms of your calendar. We've said 2 midweeks taken, 10 midweeks, sorry, taken for European competition before the end of January. The playoff round for this takes another 2.
Yep.
It's 12. It's just, there's no real room in the calendar for domestic midweek football. Certainly in terms of cup replays and stuff like that anyway. There's no games in January in this one. That's the difference. And I think that comes back to my point on weather.
Yeah,
because you're more likely...
It comes without under-floor heating and
correct.
Facilities.
You're more likely to have clubs in this competition who don't have a high level of facilities, etc. Correct. That's the thinking. But yeah, by the way, that could definitely still happen in Europa League and also the Champions League as well is a possibility. So yeah, there's no games in January in Europa Conference League. That's why you've got a more condensed schedule. In theory, as I mentioned earlier, we can have as many as, and it won't be the case for next season, we can have as many as 11 teams qualify for European competition once this format kicks into place. And we can, in theory, have as many as 7 in the Champions League. So I'll run you through an example of next year's league table to tell you how this could work. So let's say top four is Man City, Arsenal, Tottenham and Chelsea, who are not going to spend any money but going to rise up the league. Let's say Aston Villa finish 5th. And because of the performance of the English clubs in European competition next season, 5th place goes to an English team. So 5th for Villa gets them in. Let's say Liverpool have a little bit of a nightmare in the league because Jurgen Klopp's gone, but they still win the Champions League, finish 6th. They're going to the Champions League, obviously, as holders. Let's say Manchester United finish 7th.
So that's 6 Champions League teams.
Yeah. Well, let's say Manchester United
finish 4th. Qualify, coefficient, and a winner. Yeah.
Yeah. And another winner from the Europa League. Let's say Manchester United finish 7th, but win the Europa League.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. You're down to 7.
He's 7. You will not lose places from other leagues. So to add to that, let's say Newcastle finish 8th. They'd go into the Europa League as what would be the fifth place team. Because in theory, if you don't have the coefficient stuff and you don't have teams outside the top four winning other trophies, 5th in the league is for a Europa League. This would be that drop into 8th. Let's say Brighton finish 9th and win the FA Cup. They'll go in Europa League. Let's say West Ham finish 10th but win the Europa Conference League again. They get bumped up to the Europa League. And so 11th, someone like Wolves win the League Cup, they go in the Conference League.
It's weird in the way that you describe it. It's highly unlikely, but it's not improbable that any of those things could happen.
You're very unlikely to end up with 11 teams qualify or 7.
Yeah, but even once you start in the Champions League to 8 or 9, like we're talking about getting down to 7th in the table now, and maybe even 8th. But as it stands, we're thinking 7th is going to be Conference League, right? And 5th and 6th.
What I don't know, and I should have researched this, sorry, I don't know if, because currently as it stands, if the FA Cup winner is from someone who finishes in the top four, so let's just say City or Liverpool at the moment, then it drops down. So the FA Cup winner would take the Europa League place, but therefore, because they're in the Champions League, it becomes an extra place via the league. So it should drop down to 5th, 6th is for the Europa League. And obviously, because Liverpool won the League Cup, that's the Conference League place. They're obviously not going to be in the Conference League. They'll be in the Champions League next year. So it goes down to 7th for the Conference League. What I'm not sure is if 5th in the Premier League gets into the Champions League because of the coefficient, I don't know if it drops down to 8th. I think it does.
Yeah, I just suspect it would as well. It makes the most logical sense.
Based on what I looked at here, based on what I looked at in theory here, surely that happens, yeah. So 8th could be enough for European competitions. So, you know, Newcastle and Chelsea and a little scrap for mid-table. Yeah, the season's not over yet. Whether either of them want to be in the Conference League, probably both need the extra revenue because both are tied to PSR restrictions, aren't they?
They are indeed.
Do we like this new format? I guess it's a closing statement, isn't it?
Honestly, I don't know. I think there are pros and cons. I think there are pros and cons. I feel like it's the type of thing where, you know, the way I would describe this, James, is when you get a new board game out at home and no one knows the rules and one person gets the instructions out and reads the instructions, I'm the type of person that I'm like, sack off the instructions. Let's just have a go and play and figure it out. I'll know what we're doing as we're going along. Obviously, you need the instructions. We'll follow along with the instructions. But I want to see it in action. This is what I feel like.
I think it will be fairly easy to follow.
I get it in theory. I want to see what happens in reality. That's the way I feel about it. I like the increased jeopardy, but I also understand that it could be just a case of the big teams get steamrolled. You know, we have this problem with the League Cup where we're trying to make it more competitive or whatever they're trying to do with it. Teams are playing weakened sides, and yet it's still the big teams rising to the top. What I want to see with this is it a case of they've tried to make it more competitive or mix it up, but the big teams just rise to the top? And I don't know how that will play out until it gets rolled out into reality. I don't know how much of a fuss people are going to kick up about, oh, well, you played Leipzig, but we had to play some team from San Marino or something. I don't know. It's a bad example, but
it is, that won't happen.
A much worse team. And then it's like, well, you only qualified because of this and this. I think it could lead to a lot more arguments then, about unfairness. But I don't know, is the honest answer.
But in a Champions League draw, there's always teams who get harder draws than others, right? We've mentioned the draw Newcastle had. Right?
Yeah.
You got a tough draw. All the three other teams in Newcastle's group were also going, shit, it's a tough draw, right? So I think that happens with draws anyway, that teams get tougher draws than others. I think that's fairly normal. I think they need to find a way for this draw to be public and open. That's the only thing I would say.
100%.
I don't know how that's going to look as a product for the draw. I think my instinct is, I think people will quite like this to start with. But I wonder if once we get 3-4 years in, if it becomes the same. I think the Champions League has become quite stale in many ways. This is fresh and new, and it will be more interesting to start with. And it's a design that we've never seen before in football.
This
36 league and top eight go through. In theory, every place should matter, right? Because we've already said the draw for the knockout stage is already like part determined. So everything matters. If you're going for, you know, 15th, 16th, 17th. If you're 15th and maybe you're guaranteed a second leg at home, well, getting you up to 13th in that league on the final day might mean you avoid Man City in the last 16 in theory, for example. That's the idea behind this, is that every game should matter. Guess what? There's going to be a load of teams. If 25 to 36 are out, there's going to be a load of teams to be out going into that final day.
They'll already
be out because they'll be on 0 points or whatever.
Indeed. Cool. James, thanks a lot for the rundown on that. It's been an interesting discussion. I think for me, I'm going to hold my judgment until I see it rolled out. The acid test will be the 2030 World Cup, James. When the 2030 World Cup is going to be in this format, we know that FIFA and UEFA have gone all in with not 36 teams, but 48 teams.
It won't be under this format. I can tell you that. It will be.
There won't be two-legged knockouts and stuff, format. But I can see how they do it.
Well, the World Cup, they went to go with groups of three, didn't they? And they've abolished that idea because of the unfairness of the final group games. So now we've got this mad system where it's an absurd amount of games. The World Cup in USA, Canada, Mexico, it's going to be four games a day. And I don't mean like when it's the final group stage, I think it's six. You're not watching it. It's too much.
Well, that we shall get
to. In theory, it's great to go, oh, I'm going to watch a game at 12, 3, 6, 9, but you're going to have burnout. It's too much.
Yeah, let's see. Listeners, jump in the comments on YouTube and let us know what you think of this format, as well as on Twitter, X, whatever it may be. Find James at Planet FPL Pod. Make sure you like or subscribe on YouTube if you're watching on there, or give us a thumbs up on any other podcast platforms as well. You'll get notified as soon as any other content goes live. We've got Sky Fantasy Football for you tomorrow. Clash of the Correspondents, James.
Next season's big Champions League game at Westfield Shopping Centre.
Maybe. And on Friday, you're streaming.
I will be streaming. Yeah. Can you just worry about beating Freiburg on Thursday? It'd be quite useful. Yeah. Mate, cheers, mate.
I really, really do want to. Listeners, stay safe. Look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Be nice to each other. Cue music, please. Man, child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Podcast Network.